Can you talk about what we know about that and what's new with that?
Well, traditionally, we've used myeloablative conditioning with either Cytoxan, TBI, or similar type of ablative regimens, and then given stem cells or bone marrow from related or unrelated matched donors. And there's been a high early transplant-related mortality, which has been in the 20 to 40% in most series. The recent demonstration that you can get away with virtually no conditioning regimen if you just provide the right amount of immunosuppression and then and can get engraftment has really revolutionized this approach. And in Seattle, we've developed the 200 centigrade TBI regimen with or without three doses of fludarabine. And this is minimally myelotoxic. And it was developed in canine model that Dr. Storb and Sandmeyer really have explored. And this regimen allows allogeneic engraftment with really minimal hematologic toxicity. And the mortality now from being that 20 to 40% in the first 100 days has gone to, you know, less than 5% in the first 100 days. And this allows allogeneic engraftment. And the surprising finding was is that getting the allogeneic immune system in there, you essentially can then cause graft versus host effects, which some of them are graft versus tumor effects, and that can result in elimination of many malignancies.
What do you tell patients to expect in terms of efficacy and the potential for cure?
Well, for mantle cell lymphoma, for all patients, we've seen about a 25% non-relapse mortality at about between 3 and 5 years. So that's your chance of dying from something other than your lymphoma, and that's been around 25%. We also have seen about a 25% risk of the disease progressing, and that leaves about a 50% chance of long-term survival. Now, that non-relapse mortality includes all causes of death that may or not even be related to the transplant. Of course, if we wait long enough, that'll go to 100% because people will die from something eventually. But probably up to about 20% of patients will have complications of graft versus host disease and or infection, which result in their deaths.
That's a really provocative clinical decision-making situation. How do people respond to those kinds of numbers?
Well, I think it depends on what your chances are without transplant. My personal philosophy is that I generally do this only after you've failed an autologous transplant. So if you take patients who failed an autologous transplant and have recurrent mantle cell lymphoma, their natural survival is going to be generally less than a year, despite getting other treatments such as bortezomib, et cetera. So, you know, I think in this setting, you know, risk-benefit becomes more reasonable. I basically tell people what I do. I never feel like I actually tell people I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm just here to present the data and tell you, you know, what the risk-benefit is of this kind of approach. And you have to obviously make the decision about how you want to, you know, live the rest of your life, however short it might be. And if you are afraid of, you know, transplant-related complications, then you should by all means not get a transplant. Transplants are still – the problem with them is that they're somewhat unpredictable. And, I mean, we all see patients that – you know, just go through it without even batting an eyelid and basically have absolutely no toxicity. And they're just wondering, well, why the heck doesn't everybody do this? And on the other hand, you see someone who just goes through and has just a miserable time and dies a toxic death from graft versus host disease or chronic graft versus host disease. Thing about the transplant is that it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, once you do the transplant, if it's successful, you have a new immune system. And that can continue to cause graft versus host disease or complications. That's bad. But it also can continue to cause graft versus lymphoma effects or leukemia effects, which is good.
What are some of the specific problems you run into in terms of graft versus host?
Well, graft versus host disease predominantly can affect the skin, the liver, the GI tract in the acute phase. And then with a chronic phase, it can affect the skin and the eyes and mouth. And this can be a long-term chronic problem requiring prednisone and other immunosuppressive drugs for long periods of time.